regular special assembly meeting to order and roll call.
Bailey? Brenda?
Here.
Brenda? Paul? Paul?
Yes.
He's here. Josie? Josie? Warren?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Tom? Tom? Samantha asked to be here today. We have a follow.
Okay, thank you.
I'm here, Bailey.
Okay. Thank you, Daly. King Cole Officer.
You got Warren, Brenda, Chris, Seward Jr., and Jackie.
Thank you. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon.
Elvin, this is Daly. I'm in Nelson Lagoon at the office here in Nelson Lagoon.
Oh, okay. Falls Pass. Standpoint, we have Jim, Beverly, and Alvin. Actan. Anchorage office.
Yes, Meryl Strack, there's myself, Annie, there's Lenora, Ernie, George Barker, and Vicky Tresta from BDO, Jordan with the City of Sandpoint, Paul, Tanya, and Laura.
Okay. Thank you. So, at this time, we need a motion to adopt the agenda. Well, we can't go on unless somebody adopts this thing.
Jim will make a motion.
Thank you, Jim.
I'll second this, Daly.
Thank you, Daly. Are there any additions or any corrections or adjustments to the agenda?
Just for public information, I'm pretty sure when Annie gives a report, there was an update on the King Cole Colby Road. I'm sure she's going to incorporate that update so that if the public's listening, they can expect that if they want to listen to it. I'm guessing. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, Tom's here.
Thanks, Tom. So there's no... There's nothing for the agenda. Okay. Okay, if there's no objections, the agenda will stand as presented. Public comments on any agenda item. Hearing none. Anyone feel like they may have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? Hearing none. Okay, at this time we have a presentation from the auditors, and I will turn the meeting over to them. Introduce yourselves, and we can go forward.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, and good afternoon, the board. My name is Vicky Sresta, and I'm the audit partner in charge of the audit. With me is George Barker. He's my manager on the job. And then, first of all, I'd just like to start by thanking everybody at the borough for getting us all the information to get the audit wrapped up. We're in the wrap-up process right now, and we're really close to keeping the financial statements. First of all, I'd also like to just add that probably this year, as far as going through the audit and everything, it was probably the smoothest year as far as getting all the information, correct information. There are some findings in the report, but some of them are carry over from prior year because we identified...
Longer down there.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Okay. Yeah, we identified some of those problems during the audit in the prior years, but last year was some of the... most of the changes were made during our audit, prior year audit, but then it would still, some of those, even if the changes were made, some of those take some time to get implemented, plus it was implemented during the year. So there are parts of the year where those controls were not put in place, so that's why there's some repeat findings related to that. But other than that, everything went pretty good. It was just like the timing of when we get the information stuff is always poses a little bit of a challenge. But and then for this year, one big change is the implementation of GASB 87 related to your leases, which had a material impact on your finance statements. So your financial statements do look a lot do look different because of that change, and there's some additional footnotes added as a result. And on your side, that did add a lot of hours on your end putting that information together, and it also added hours on our end to audit that information. And to add to it, in the past few days, we did run across an issue where we did have some disagreements as to how to present some of the items, and to resolve that, we had to actually go all the way to contact that FAA to get some confirmation. What we ran into is you have some leases at the airport, at the terminal at the airport, which normally airport leases are regulated by FAA and it's not subject to GASB 87, so that was our understanding. But come to after we got confirmations from the contact at FAA, they did indicate that this should probably be one of the unique situations where they actually don't have the regulation. So basically, that would be the reason the amount have to be recorded on your books. So there was, we did run into that issue, but I think we have it resolved. We just got a, she did confirm, but then she did include a few other folks from the state, I believe, in the email to confirm on that part too. So if they come back saying something different, that could yet again change a little bit. But the draft that you have, that have been provided to you, does not reflect the adjustment for those leases. The new draft we just sent has that adjustment, so there's a slight difference in the financial statements. But nothing to the order that the draft that we sent cannot be relied on for this book. So we can point out what numbers changed during that process. So first of all, I'd like to go to the audit wrap-up document. I think that's being shared on your screen right now. Can we go all the way to page 5 of the document?
So this is not being shared yet.
No. So everybody should have the audit wrap-up, the video presentation, and they're on page 5.
It's labeled the status of the audit, of our audit.
Load up.
All right. So status of our audit, that page, this is on page 5. I'm not going to talk about everything over here, but just the important part. So we've substantially completed our audit, and basically at this point we're pretty close. We're just going to sign off on that one little issue, and once we get that through, then we will get the financial statements printed. Since you do get funding both from federal and state sources, you are, and you report as a government, you are subject to an audit in accordance with government auditing standards too, and also an audit in accordance with uniform guidance for your federal programs, and an audit in accordance with State Alaska Guide for your state program. This year, you did have a state audit too. You didn't have that in prior couple of years, I believe, but because of the debt reimbursement program, you did have a stitching allotted this year, too. The first bullet point, I just really like to point out that an objective of an audit is to not look at everything that goes through your financial statements, because if we had to do that, then it would be a job here. So we don't look at everything, but we do focus on all the risky areas or areas that we deem to be risky or material for our purpose. So during your work, like a lot of time is spent on your revenue side of the audit on your revenues. We do sample a lot of your expenditures. And then since you were subject to an audit in accordance with uniform guidance, there's a lot of work done on the federal single audit side along with state single audit for this year. We also do focus more on fixed assets, your property and equipment, your leases. And for this year, leases was a big part of it, and then on your note space. So the second, the third bullet point there, we expect to issue an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statement. And the third bullet point after that, we expect to issue unmodified opinion on your federal single audit and actually on your state single audit too. And the second to the last bullet point, all records and information requested by BDO was fully available for our inspection. Next phase, phase six. On here, you will find just a description of your accounting policies and practices. These are listed on note one to your financial statement, so all your significant accounting policies are listed there. As I indicated earlier, for 2022, the big change is the implementation of GASB 87. So this change, prior to this year, you would always have a footnote for your operating leases. Like there's usually a schedule that used to show how much you would have due for leases, and then for receivables, you usually had a footnote that just said, you know, we have some long-term receivables from some leases we have. So for this year, and starting this year, any of those long-term leases, both as a lessor and a lessee, is also included on, in your balance sheet now, and there is a footnote that kind of describes the process of how you calculate that, those amounts. So that is now included in your financial statement, so that's the one big major change in your financial statement. And then this also talks about your accounting estimates, and the two estimates we hit on over here is allowance for uncollectible accounts and your net pension and OPEB assets or liabilities, because right now I think your OPEB is in an asset position, your pension is still in a liability position. But just a note on that is your pension, your PERS liability, and your OPEB asset, all that information is obtained mostly from audits done at the state division of retirement level, division of retirement level, where they do an separate audit of the allocation, and then report is provided on the website available to all the governmental entities that are available to the public, basically, and then the information that's presented here is directly derived from those numbers that was presented in those allocation audits. So management doesn't actually calculate those amounts. It comes directly from there. So, and then I'm going to go on to the next couple of pages, page 8. I'll skip that one. So, corrected and uncorrected misstatement. We don't have any uncorrected misstatement to report. We did have a few corrected misstatements. Those are listed in the back of this document, and some of these just related to some entries that has to be done between the borough and the school district, and some due to from that we have to correct. So that's listed in the representation letter draft that's attached to this document. Following that, I'm going to go to page 10, internal control over financial reporting. And in this document right here, we have like the description of the internal control over financial reporting. So as part of our audit, the first thing we do when we start an audit, we don't just jump into the financial statements, the financial numbers. We get an understanding of the financial reporting process based on inquiries with your management, along with some walkthroughs that we do for certain transactions. And in that process, if we notice any issues, we put it together, or we put it into one of the buckets described over here, a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or a material weakness. Any issue that we find that we deem to be significant deficiencies or material weaknesses would actually have to be reported to you, to the board of directors, and then it's always reported as findings on the financial statements because you're subject to an audit in accordance with government audit standards. And along that same line, since we do an audit for your federal and state programs, there's a little more work that we have to do, so we also have to get an understanding of your internal controls for your compliance requirements that you're subject to. And same thing in that process, if we find any issues that we deem to be significant deficiencies or material weaknesses, those are presented as findings. If you go to the next page, this one just summarizes some of the findings that we have, but I can talk about this a little more in detail when we go to the financial statements itself, because the financial statements actually have like the description of what these findings are. Like I said earlier, most of these findings are a repeat from prior year, and most of these we are expecting will go away next year, but we can't tell until we actually do the audit. But a lot of the processes were put in place after prior year's audit, or during last year's audit, and so there would still be a finding for FY 22, but we're thinking FY 23 forward, those will go. So that's really a little overview of the audit wrap-up process. I can go through the financial statements and go through some of those findings in the next section. Any questions at this point? The draft financial should be a different document.
Okay. Yep. So they're going to pull up the financials. So if you guys go in your packet under resolution 2359. There's a draft of the financials in your packet, so they're going to move to that.
Okay. The financial statement, I'm actually, if you don't mind, going to schedule A1 to be page 6. I think it's going to be probably page 12 or so of this year. Yeah, if you just type in 12 up there.
Well, I'm on the full stack.
Oh, so
okay,
yeah.
One? Oh,
six. Few more
right
days.
Here.
Yeah, right there, yes. It's the statement of net position. As I was saying earlier, the draft that you have is a little bit different than the numbers I have in front of me. That's because we had some discussion and some changes on the draft, and it's only going to be in the business type activities section of the draft. Right now, there's a lease receivable line item in the governmental activities for $561,000. but on the new statements that I have for the business type activities, instead of zero, that number is going to be $748,000, and there's going to be a lease liability in the liabilities for approximately the same amount. So that's the major difference between the old financials and this one. But I'll probably just present the way you have the draft so you can see those numbers a little bit better. So, okay, so your total assets as of 2022, June 30, 2022, was $160 million. Out of that, $153 million was in your governmental activities, and $6.7 million was in your business type activities. Like I said, like when you do see the updated draft or final, eventually that $6.7 million that you see for your business type activity is going to go to $7.5 million, and there is going to be a corresponding increase to your liability of approximately the same. Most of your assets was in your capital assets. As you can see, your governmental activities have approximately $73 million, and your business type activities have over $6 million of capital assets. And then the other big bucket in that, can you go a little bit to the top, please, is your cash and investments, which is at $74 million at the end of 2022. Your liabilities compared to your revenue was sitting at $24.1 million for the entire government. The business type activities had about $6 million, and then your $24 million and business type activities was $265,000, and your total liabilities for your governmental funds was $23.8. That left you with your net position at the end of the year of almost $135 million for the government as a whole. Your governmental activities have had almost $128 million of net position and $6.4 million for the business activities. And you should note that a large chunk of your net position is invested in your capital assets. So it's not liquid, right? So that represents approximately $63.4 million of that $134 million. And then your trust fund, restricted for your trust fund, is $48.4 million. And for some of your construction, is $7 million, giving you the unrestricted net position of $22 million as of. Following that, I'm going to skip on over to page 8 of the financial statement. Page 8 of the financial statement is your governmental activities, your governmental fund balance sheet. So the statement that I just went through earlier just shows all of your assets and liabilities. So the way the financials work for government is, most of your statements is on what's called a modified basis of accounting. So these statements right now do not include long-term assets and liabilities. And then the schedule I just presented has your long-term assets. So that one, your governmental activities, has your fixed assets and your loans. These statements are more based on how you budget for the year. So it really has your yearly activities and all the current stuff. So your governmental fund balance sheet, as of 2022, your total assets was $86.8 million. Majority of that $86.8 million was in your cash and investment of $73.8 million. $48.4 million, like I indicated earlier, of that $86 million is in your trust funds, and $32.4 million is in your general. Your liabilities compared to your assets only total about $10.3 million. and leaving you with your fund balance of $75.8 million at the end of the year. As I indicated earlier, most of that, a big chunk of that $75.8 million, $48.4 million in your permanent fund, and $26.3 million.
Good question. Page under assets, the bottom item, or second bottom item, was $445,000 for investment in the Southwest Governments LLC. Is that the building there? I'm not sure what that is.
So, following that, I'm also just going to go to page 10 real quick, just give you a summary of the revenue and expenses for the year. So this is your statement of revenue, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. So this one, this statement just shows your revenues and support, your expenditures, and then your change in your fund balance during the year. And this particular statement only shows it for the major fund. The non-major funds are combined together and shown in a supplemental schedule in the financial statement. So what major funds are there's certain threshold calculation that has to be done. So if any of the funds meets approximately 10% of assets, liabilities, revenue, or expenditures, they would meet the definition of a major fund, and they would be presented here. So all your major activity, it shows up in here. So your total revenues for 2022 was $11 million. 12.7 of that was in your general fund. You should note that for 2022, there was a big loss on your investment portfolio. Just keep in mind that for your even your unrealized gains and losses are included here. So even if you are holding on to some investments that you purchased in the past but you haven't sold it, if you bought it for, like, let's say $500,000, now because of the change in market, it's sitting at $100,000. Even there's that $400,000 loss, but you don't really realize that loss until you actually sell that investment. So the market just at June 30, 2022 was really down at the time, so some of these losses are attributed to that, but that may have come up since this presentation. Your total expenditures was $10.5 million. That leaves you with your change in net, in your fund balance of $336,000. This is after some of the transfers out that go into your business type activities, leaving you with your fund balance of 75 points. So that's a brief overview of the financial results. Now I'm just going to go through the results of your single audit for the year, and I'm going to skip on ahead all the way to page 88 of the financials.
It's a wave there.
There's a lot of information in the notes that every year the notes just get longer with all the requirements that get put in. All right, so page 88 just gives us summary of the results of the audit, and it's called the Schedules of Findings and Question Cards. This gives the results of the audit for the financial statement, the federal and the state single audit. So we issued an unmodified opinion on your financial statement, as we are issuing an unmodified opinion on your financial statement, as I indicated earlier. We are reporting some material weaknesses and significant deficiencies. On your federal award, we are also including a significant deficiency there, but it's an unmodified or clean opinion on it. Same thing with the state. We are issuing an unmodified opinion, and there's going to be a... Following that, the next page, from the next page are some of the findings. Like I said earlier, Some of these findings are a repeat from prior year. This first one is general ledger reconciliation. Like I said earlier, there were some journal entries that we had to make once the trial balance was handed us for us to audit, and those entries are listed at the back of the audit wrap-up document as part of the audit wrap-up document. And because those adjustments were material for our purpose, so whenever we have to make material adjustments, we have to do a finding. So that's what this is related to, but management has hired some contract accountant that helps with this process, and we're expecting this hopefully to go away next year. So the next one, next page, is finding two. This is segregation, internal control segregation of duties. This particular finding was mostly already corrected in during the year under audit, but it did not cover the whole year. So there, basically, the finance director had the ability to initiate, approve wire transfers and ACH transactions without secondary approval. But when we found this issue in the 20, as part of the 21 audit, this was, I believe, already fixed at that time. But since it happened during a time frame where our audit is subject to, so it still happened. Next finding, the journal entry review, same condition applies here. There was no review process in place for journal entries in the past. This also was put in place as a result of the audit in 2021 already, but like I said, it, since a lot of the audit is covered during that time frame, it still has to be reviewed. Now we're going to go to the next page on your federal award. This is also a repeat finding related to your subrecipient monitoring. All the subrecipient, it's for the same program that was audited in 2021. The subrecipient monitoring process had not been placed in service yet as of last year, and then so it continued on for this year, and this particular grant is probably going away at this point. There's probably going to be ARPA next year, but I'm not sure. This finding, I would expect to go away. The next two findings are just related to the, because we couldn't get the all the audits and everything because of GASB 87 with all, and any of the activity going back and forth, we didn't get the audit done in time. In the past year, we didn't have to present this finding for the past 3-4 years. Like, I think this is still going to be the earliest we're going to print this financial statement. But there was extensions provided because of COVID in the past. So this year, there's no extension. So, but I would expect this also to be met going forward, because we were close on this year too, but because of the timing of when everything could be done, we couldn't get the people scheduled. But the good thing about the way your financial statements are is the delay, the not meeting the audit in a timely manner would not cause a lot of work, extra work for us going forward. One of the big things that comes out of this is, I mean, you'll have to address it with the grant agency saying you have processed this, but it all, what one big difference is, like, when we do our federal single audit, it's not filed on time, or if you have material weakness, which you have a material weakness anyway, so there's no real difference. We are subject to auditing 40% of the grants versus 20% of the grants. But usually for your case, even if it was 40 versus 20%, it would be the same. That would have to be audited. And probably for real. The amount of programs we have to audit. So that's the audit presentation at this point. Like I said, we are very close to printing, and it would probably have been printed if we hadn't run into this issue with the airport, the leases at the airport, but I believe we have it resolved. I would give it a day or two just to make sure that they don't have any differences in opinion. But after that, yeah, we're ready.
So, Mayor, to wrap, I think that's the end of the presentation. I don't know if there's any questions.
One quick one. You mentioned the new software we're going to implement. I'm kind of waiting for the audit to be completed. So, refresh us when the new software will be installed.
So, we need to follow up with Castell, who we hired to do that, and then we'll have a better timeline. I could probably give that to you soon, but we need to follow up with them on what they need from us.
Yes.
I couldn't even hazard a guess at this point. I don't know. So.
Other questions?
One other quick one, Alvin, if you don't mind. The COVID-19 monies have been difficult throughout the state, kind of.
Yes.
Handle on that.
Yes. It's always difficult. I mean, for the borough, there's really one finding related to sub-recipient monitoring, and that was just so really we didn't find any real issue with that. So as part of whenever you have sub-recipient or you give that money to a different organization, there is a certain responsibility that comes with that, and that responsibility basically is that you ensure that you identify that they might be subject to a single audit, that there's federal funds involved in there, and then you just have to get the information from them saying either they have been audited or they've been following the rules, or if they have not been audited, you need to be getting like reports from them saying. So just that process was not completely followed, so that was the finding over here. But yeah, no, COVID-19 money overall has been difficult about it. This particular case, like the sub-recipient portion this year, out of that 900,000 was only for about 70.
Okay. So, from the Assembly, anybody else have questions for the auditors? Hearing none. Annie, do you have any comments before they leave?
No, I just want to thank you both for all your work, and particularly thank Jackie for all her hard work on this as well. So we're getting better, faster every year, and I appreciate everybody's work on it.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Good presentation. You can see we've come quite a ways on our little deficiencies, so next year it'll be twice as good, right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. We're down to item 6, so I need a motion to approve the minutes of April 13, 2023.
I make a motion, it's Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll second this, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Does anybody have any corrections to the April 13th minute? Hearing none, if there's no objections, the minutes for April 13th will stand as written. I need a motion for the May 3rd, 2023 minute.
This is Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second that.
Okay. Thank you, Josie. Anybody have any corrections to the May 3rd, 2023 minute?
Yes, Mr. Mike, maybe it's more of a question.
Okay.
We were all present in King Cole for that. But it says it was available via teleconference. I don't know if if that needed to be changed.
Hang on a minute. On May 3rd? So were you were wondering who was missing? We didn't have teleconference on May 3rd.
Yeah, I know. It says it was special assembly meeting called to order by teleconference in each community. I wasn't sure if that mattered.
So this is Annie, if I could comment. We still did have all the other lines open via teleconference, even though the majority of the folks were closed. So I think it's fine leaving it like that.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering.
Yeah, no, great question.
Yeah, because we did have a standpoint on the line. Jim was here in the office. So, okay. So if there's no objections, I will accept the May 3rd, 2023 minutes as written. We don't have anything at this time under financials or investment reports or consent agenda. We're just moving along. So we have, before us, we have three public hearings. So at this time, I need a motion and a second to bring Ordinance 2304 to the floor for a public hearing.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Kenny?
Yeah, Where I'm going to Ernie on this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we, at the last meeting, May 3rd, you passed a resolution saying you would like to not dispose, but to lease this property, Lot 2 in Portmore, and we had a first reading of this ordinance, and as Annie stated at the workshop, very little, nothing has changed on the ordinance, very little on the agenda statement. These three gentlemen, Connor Murphy, Bob Murphy, and J.W. Smith, have had a small building on this piece of property since before the borough took control of this municipal entitlement land. So we have about 1,260 acres in Port Mueller. This is 1 acre that if you so choose and pass this ordinance after the public hearing, you would authorize the mayor to go into negotiations, and there are some terms and conditions which are listed in the ordinance and on this agenda statement, and especially to note that the term and the rental rate will be negotiated during the negotiations, and I've done a quick search of fair market value of other leases. And again, you've seen this before just a couple weeks ago. And I'll leave it at that before your public hearing.
Okay, thank you, Ernie. So with that explanation, I'm going to at this time open the public hearing on Ordinance 2304, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a lease of Lot 2, Port Mueller Cannery Subdivision. So public hearing is now open. Hearing no public comment. I will now close the public hearing, and I will open it up for last-minute comments by the Assembly.
And Mr. Mayor, I would also note these three gentlemen, two of them are out of state at this time, and one is out fishing, so they could not attend, but they are certainly interested, continued interest in leasing this property. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Hearing no comments from the Assembly.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just I just want to make sure the record's clear, but the individuals involved, some of them in the past, I think, not current, were state and fishing game employees. Is that
that's public info, I assume. Robert Murphy, recently retired from Fish and Game.
Okay.
In Port Mueller. He was in Port Mueller a long time.
Yeah, thanks for putting on the record. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Call the question on the motion.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
With you. Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Before us, we have a public hearing on Ordinance 2305, amending Title 1, Chapter 1.2. Why did I start this? Section 1.20.3030B3 and 1.20100. Title 2, Section 2.08.010B 2.120.30A and B 2.20.04. 40 and 2.20.050 of the Aleutians East Borough Court of Ordinances. I need a motion and a second to bring it.
This is Brenda. All make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda. Who seconded it?
I'll second it, Chris.
Okay. Thank you, Scrap. Annie.
Yes, Mayor. I'm going to defer to Glenora.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. So our attorney, Joel Levesque, went over this briefly during his presentation during our work session, but I'll go over it again. Ordinance 2305 would amend sections in both Title 1 and 2 of our Borough Code of Ordinances. The Borough adopted our code back in 1987 when the Borough was first formed, and there are a few inconsistencies throughout the code, some grammar and typo errors that we would like to get fixed. Administration and the clerk's department did work with the law office to get the code updated, and there is suggested changes. There's a table on the second page if you want to look at it. But I did make a few changes to this agenda statement, which is just adding what is added to this section, these sections of our titles, which the only things that we're adding is adding the borough administrator to the packet distribution list, which is something we already do practice. In our code, it's written to where the clerk gives it to the assembly and the mayor, so we're just adding the administrator into that. We are also adding reserving the right to charge a fee for copies of the code. This is something in state law, it's written in state law, so we're allowed to do that, and we currently don't have that in our code. But if we wanted to charge for copies, we could. Another addition is letting special meetings be called on in a shorter time frame, and then giving notice of all meetings, including work sessions and special meetings. We do this already, but I don't think those two were written in there specifically. And then another addition is materials for an emergency meeting are to be delivered to the borough clerk as soon as possible, so we can get the packet created out to the public as soon as possible for these emergency meetings. Some of the other suggested changes are clerical, switching the language from saying 3 days to 72 hours or vice versa, for, just kidding, not vice versa. But, you know, from days to hours, where it says those two different things throughout the code, and then just cleaning up other inconsistencies throughout the sections. Oh, another thing that was we're taking out of the code, it says we're supposed to have 5 public hearings in a short span, which isn't something we do. We do 1, which is all we're required to do, so we're just removing the 5 public hearings for ordinances and whatever else.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. So, at this time, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on Ordinance 2305. Hearing no public testimony, I will close the public hearing. And are there any additional assembly comments before I call the vote?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Paul.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the work in trying to simplify it and make this easier and more consistent. And I'll support the ordinance change. However, I think in the future, as we discussed in the workshop, I think we probably should look at, clarifying how we handle workshops if and when we want to use them in the future. I think that's worthy of discussion. And I still think there could be a better way of doing agendas, too. And I think we can look at that in the future. I think it'd be a good idea. And I don't know, and the last thing would be, I don't know, if, since we're talking about moving into the Zoom age or if we want to put that in code or not, but something to think about. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. I think it kind of goes with this. So, shortly, since everybody has higher speed internet now, we're going to start doing team meetings, Zoom meetings, whichever you call it. So, we just have a few sites to get the screens up in and we'll start trying that here very shortly. So, any other comments? Okay, question on the motion.
Bruce?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So, before us we have a public hearing on Ordinance 2306 adopting the operating capital budget for the Lucens East Borough fiscal year 2024. I need a motion and a second to bring it on the floor for public hearing.
I'll make a motion, Daly, to bring it on the floor.
Thank you, Daly.
No, second.
Josie. Brenda. Was it Brenda did the second?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Annie.
Yes, Mayor, Spring Assembly. So in the packet is quite a bit of information regarding this. There's an agenda statement which has been updated since the last meeting. I'll go over that in a moment. There's consumer price index information as well. And then it rolls into suggested permanent fund earning allocations, which will be addressed later on in Resolution 22, I think 55. It also includes community budget requests and ordinance and a Excel spreadsheet outlining the budget and all the changes since FY 23. So just briefly, I don't have to go through this whole thing, but there have been a few updates at the state level. When we do the budget, we look at a lot of different aspects. One is the state of Alaska budget and what we anticipate there. Then we have the fisheries consideration, department budget considerations, education support, and Fund 20 and a few others. But at the state level, as of 2 o'clock today, Mark Hickey did text me that basically, so last night the governor did issue a 30-day special session to begin today to discuss the FY24 budget.
The House and Senate could not agree on the operating capital budget and other important pieces of legislation. So the current version still includes full funding for school and harbor debt reimbursement, fish tax revenue sharing, and community assistance. That being said, we are still, as of 2 o'clock today, the House still has not convened and the budget still hasn't been passed. So as we learn more, we'll make sure to get that information out to everyone. But as of right now, it's not passed and there's still a lot of uncertainties. However, the main items that impact our budget are still in there. Are there any questions on that? Okay. So fishery considerations, this is something that we look at in great detail. Just to update, as of April 2023, our fish tax revenue is approximately $4.36 million, which exceeds what was anticipated in the FY23 budget, which is currently at $4 million. The April 2023 fish tax was $162,000, which is about 53.9% of the five-year average. So we're below where we used to be, but overall for the fishery, for the fish tax year to date, we're above the five-year average. So we're still in a good spot, but I just wanted to provide an update on where we were with the fish tax revenue. As far as department goes, we did meet with every single department, made adjustments accordingly. The salaries are based off of a 5% cost of living adjustment. The consumer price index for urban Alaska, which includes Anchorage and the Matsu Valley area, for the preceding fiscal year was 8.1%, and that's shown on the document in this packet. According to our handbook, the Borough Assembly may, at its discretion, authorize annual cost of living adjustments for regular employees in an amount not to exceed the Consumer Price Index for Urban Alaska as computed for the preceding fiscal year. So what we're recommending is 5%. If this is something that the Assembly would like to change, an amendment would need to occur. We also discussed fringe benefits. There'll be a motion made hopefully later about the fringe benefits, but when this was originally drafted, our insurance broker did mention that the average increase across the board for health insurance rates was 10 to 12%. So we went in with a 12% thinking worst case scenario. Well, we have since received our premier FY24 renewal information, and it only went up 3%. So we would like to change the or have an amendment made to make the adjustment. There will be approximately $27,000 worth of savings there, so that will increase our surplus from $72,670 to $100,065. So that will need to be done via an amendment. As far as education support goes, we have talked to the school district. Mr. Nielsen, their business manager, contacted me last week. The school district has passed their budget. It has $800,000 worth of local school contributions from the borough, which is what we have budgeted. And then this budget also includes $55,000 for other things, $35,000 of which is for school scholarships, and $20,000 is for student travel, which usually goes for close-up travel for students. So what is reflected in the budget is $800,000, which is what the school district has approved on their end. The next section is Fund 20. This is where anything related to grants from outside entities is, capital projects funded from non-grant borough sources. So, for instance, like Trident contributed the Accutane Airport. There's hovercraft sales proceed designations. Those are in there, as well as the borough permanent fund earning appropriated projects. So those are outlined in the ordinance. When we get there, I can show you where that is, but it is important that those are shown there for our financial statement purposes. And the ordinance does appropriate $1,788,334.18 for FY24 designated projects. So that is in the ordinance as well. Are there any questions before I move on? Okay, hearing none. So to summarize, currently what is in the current budget, and this will change slightly if that amendment goes through, But we are expecting a revenue of about $7.525 million, expenditures at $4.41 million. Net revenue is then $3.084 million. There's a transfer in from the terminal operations of about $42,000 and a transfer out to the helicopter operations, which is costing us about $863,000, what we anticipate for FY24. We also have the transfer out to the bond fund, which we have put into Fund 30, which is different than prior years because it's not revenue. It's something that we're getting paid back for that we have to pay. And that's at $2.19 million, so we'll transfer out to that, which, as of right now, within the current ordinance, results in a surplus of $72,670. So the next sections really go through each department. For Fund 01, so you can see the interest income that we anticipate will be about $500,000, and this is interest from the AMLIF accounts and other bank accounts that we have. We anticipate a raw fish tax of $4 million and other revenue of $79,000, which includes revenues from the fourplex, permanent fees, Thailand, and other leases that we have. Shared fish tax, we've lowered that to about $1.9 million. This is something that we don't get told what our distribution will be till November. So we won't know that number till November 2020. We're in 2023, right? Yeah, 2023. And then there's the shared fish tax at $100,000 and shared fishery, the FMA 2 at, or FMA 3 at $1,500. We have community assistance in there and payment in lieu of taxes and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which is pretty much on par from what it has been in the prior year. And then, as I mentioned, we moved the school bond debt and harbor bond debt out of Fund 01, and that has been moved to Fund Fund 30, which is the bond line item. So that results in the $7.525 million in revenue. I already mentioned the COLA and the fringe, and then we go into each department. So you can see in there some of the adjustments that have been made. And if there's any questions on anything in particular, please let me know, but I won't be going into those in great detail. So any questions on that? Okay, so the one another big change this year was for Fund 41, which is the Maintenance Reserve Fund. According to our code, we should be putting about $147,500 into that account. It specifically says that the mayor shall include in the proposed budget for the coming fiscal year the deposit to the Capital Improvement Maintenance Reserve Account, which is in Fund 41, of the greater of $100,000 or an amount equal to 2.5% of the total anticipated revenues from the borough sales tax and the state shared fisheries business license tax. So if we take that, we would anticipate about $5.9 million, 2.5% of that is $147,500, which is what we're proposing to put in there. Those monies will be moved into their own probably AMLIF portfolio because that's the easiest way for us to keep track of the money, and it also accrues its own interest, so we don't have to try to separate that out if it's in a different account mixed with other monies. So the money would go in there. And then if the money is not spent to all in that fiscal year, so let's say we only spend $47,500 of that, $100,000 would stay in the AMLIF account and grow and then can be used in future years. So then we go into Fund 20. Like I said, in the ordinance, it would approve the $1.788 million that can be appropriated to projects. It's just an outline of what's suggested, but that will actually be approved. The actual designation of the project and the money would be approved via resolution. So part of that, if I continue, if I go to the community budget request section, we did send out to the communities a budget request process. There's about $758,000 worth of requests. What the borough is suggesting through the appropriation process from the permanent fund earnings is to provide $100,000 for Accutan Cold Base and False Pass, King Cove and Sandpoint for their designated projects. And please note, between last time and this time, the city of Sandpoint had submitted a different request that I hadn't seen, so that changed to go towards a solid waste vehicle instead of their incinerator. So that's been changed. And then we did leave the community fuel in for the city of False Pass. Just to clarify, we did not make it clear in the process on what those funds can be used for. So at this point in time, I would suggest on funding that project. And in the future, if we want to change that, we would need to make that clear in the budget request process. So administration does recommend funding that to the tune of $100,000. So if there's no questions on that, we do roll into the ordinance. Like I mentioned, there is a suggested change on the fringe benefits that will come later, I believe after the public hearing. But that's outlined in there, and then there is the Excel spreadsheet, which shows increases in green and decreases in red. But overall, we do have a surplus, which is exciting. It's the first time I can say that there's a surplus being presented to you in the last 5 years, I think, since I've been here. So that's fantastic news. And then once the state finalizes their budget, we'll probably come back to the assembly with a budget adjustment to make any adjustments to harbor bond debt or community assistance or whatever it might be once we get those final numbers from the state's budget. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Lot to absorb. Okay. Hearing none. Okay, I will open a public hearing on Ordinance 2306. Hearing no public. I'll close the public hearing on Ordinance 2306. Are there further assembly comments?
Mr. Mayor, this is Chris here in King Cove.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the proposed department totals by the decrease in the fringe costs from the following. The mayor, $294,118. The assembly, $295,500. The administration, $448,567. The assistant administrator, $155,303. The clerk planning, $146,595. Finance, $434,500. Natural resource, $390,662. And communications manager, $189,908. To the mayor, $291,966. The assembly, $285,000. Administration, $446,067. The assistant administrator, $152,803. Clerk planning, $146,095. Finance, $430,500. Natural resources, $388,147. And communications manager, $189,133. Which decreases the total general fund expenditures by $27,395. From $4,203,895 to $4,176,500, further changing the total AEB surplus from $72,670 to $100,065. Yeah. Is everybody still there?
Oh, sorry. I was on mute. But anyway, so I asked for a second on the amendment and Jim seconded it. So now we have discussion open on the amendment proposed by Chris. So Annie, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think I touched on it earlier, but this is just the adjustment for the health insurance cost. Excuse me.
Okay. Any discussion from the assembly? Okay. Question on the amendment?
Josie?
That's
Warren?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So the motion, the amendment passed. So before us we have the amended ordinance 2306 before us. If there's no further comments, I'll call for a question on the amended ordinance.
Mayor?
Go ahead, Paul.
I just have a couple of comments. I appreciate Addie's hard work on the budget. Even so, while largely symbolic, I'm going to vote no on this budget, even though it's probably just a symbolic vote. But I'll just give you a couple of the reasons, that's all. One reason is our permanent fund. We lost a whole year's budget in our permanent fund. And we have a lot of financial uncertainties in our fishing industry in the borough right now, and so I think we need to be more conservative. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Other comments? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Jim?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Good.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have no new ordinance before us, but we do have 8 resolutions. So, deep breath, Annie, and go forward.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
I guess I know why you were not saying anything. I need a motion and a second to bring resolution 2355 to the floor.
I'll make a motion. We'll make a motion to bring
Okay. Daly?
I'll second that.
Okay. Josie? Annie?
Okay, so the first...
You can take over.
Sounds good. So the first resolution is 2355, authorizing the mayor to appropriate the FY24 permanent fund earnings to designated projects. The borough is authorized to appropriate funds from the permanent fund account to the general fund. The assembly, in its discretion and consistent with Chapter 6.04.041, may in any fiscal year appropriate an amount not to exceed 4% of the 5-year average fund market value to be computed using the 5 prior calendar years market value. This was done to attempt to smooth the effects of market volatility and preserve the purchasing power of the fund. Currently, the borough has been appropriating the earnings from the permanent fund and then appropriating the earnings to projects and community budget requests. These projects and community budget requests and their corresponding appropriations are then entered into Fund 20. Contingent upon approval of the ordinance, which actually should be 2306, which just passed, it designated $1,788,334.18 in permanent fund earnings for FY24. When borough administration does look at this, we look at, for the appropriations, we look at projects, like items that will cover projects outlined in our borough strategic plan that will cover borough maintenance needs, and then we look at the community budget request items. So that being said, as I mentioned, we have a couple recommendations for consideration. There's $200,000 for fisheries research, and that is on the borough strategic plan. There's $600,000 designated for the Cole Bay Dock, which could assist with completing design or being matched for grants to get that project funded. That's also on our strategic plan. $350,000 for deferred maintenance, which is a continuous need throughout the borough, and is also on the strategic plan. And then there's $103,334.18 for project contingency. And this account has been extremely helpful because what we can anticipate now, well, we can't anticipate everything now that might happen throughout the upcoming fiscal year, so that money is nice to address issues and projects that come up. As far as the community budget requests go, as I mentioned earlier, there would be $100,000 for the Actan Bulk Fuel Storage Facility, $100,000 for the Cold Bay Water Plant Backup Generator, $100,000 for False Pass Community Fuel, $100,000 for the King Cove Rolling Compactor, $35,000 for the Nelson Lagoon Municipal Building Repairs, which is what they requested, and $100,000 for, and that should actually have been changed to a solid waste vehicle. So that would total the $1.788 million. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie? Hearing none, call a question on the motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2356, supporting Southeast Alaska Salmon Troll Fishermen. I need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Ernie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This suggestion for this resolution came up at the last meeting. I drafted one, showed it to the mayor. He thought it was great, and I also showed it to Linda Bankin with Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She really appreciated it. So the agenda statement kind of goes through a timeline, which I'll go through. The southern resident killer whales that are in Puget Sound are endangered. NIMS came up with their 10-year plan, including the biological opinion, the BIOP, which would allow the troll fishery in southeast Alaska, which is in federal waters. Otherwise, there's no the federal fisheries does not really include salmon fishing, but it does with the Southeast Alaska troll fishery, and probably now in Cook Inlet because of another thing that's going on. So the Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit saying that this troll fishery is killing the killer whales. Magistrate judge in 2001 agreed, and in 2002 a district judge also agreed, and on May 2nd of this year, the Judge Jones remanded the buyout back to NIMS to remedy Endangered Species Act and NEPA violations. And he also vacated the portions that would allow the Southeast Alaska troll fishery for Chinook to continue. The state of Alaska immediately and the Alaska Troller Association filed an appeal. This resolution shows support for that appeal and also for the troll fishermen, and it asks NIMS to expedite issuance of an updated Southeast Alaska biological opinion that would allow that Chinook salmon commercial harvest by those troll fishermen. In the Washington update memo put out by Brad Gilman, Sebel Kelly, and Rick Marks, the fifth bullet under fisheries and oceans, they address it there a little bit, and there's a couple extra. It's not in the packet, but it was sent to the assembly, so there's a little bit extra information. Then I also put a link to a Laney Welch article. So that's it. I can answer questions.
Okay. Thank you for that, Ernie. Questions on this resolution for Ernie? Okay. And I think this is a good resolution, and we need to start really supporting fisheries everywhere against some of these attacks. So.
I think Paul has a question.
Yeah. Oh, Paul?
Yeah, thank you. I think very good resolution, and I think the Department of Fish and Game is solidly behind this effort, too, and particularly the commissioner has been very vocal about this issue, and so I think it's a good idea to support the troll fisheries. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on a motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Dulcie?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Tom? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So, before us we have Resolution 2357 relating to disposal of surplus obsolete or unneeded supplies. I need a motion and a second. Bring it to the floor.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second, Daly.
Thank you, Daly. Annie.
Yes, good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. Before you is Resolution 2357 relating to the disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. The Aleutians East Borough has acquired certain personal property for the purpose of carrying out services in the public interest. Some of these items have become worn out, obsolete, or are no longer needed by the borough. The borough has deemed it unnecessary to maintain ownership of surplus personal property of the borough. Section 3.02.0.31b of the borough code reads, supplies which are deemed by the purchasing officer to be sold as surplus, obsolete, or unneeded may be sold or otherwise disposed of by the purchasing officer upon approval by the assembly. By resolution, the borough desires to dispose of the following items. And there are five office chairs located in Sandpoint, which I've listed for $50, four computer monitors located in Sandpoint, which I've listed for $60, and one refrigerator located in King Cove, which I've listed for 50. Administration does recommend approval of Resolution 2357 relating to the disposal of surplus, obsolete, or unneeded supplies. And if you guys scroll down just a little bit, you'll see those items, the images posted below. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. In clarification, so like on the chairs, that's $50 for the five, right? And then the monitors and that type of thing?
Yes. Yes, for clarification,
okay.
All five.
Okay. Thank you. Any
yes.
questions for Talia? Okay. Question on the motion?
Please.
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Don't
move the mic on me.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. The fourth, we have Resolution 2358, authorizing the mayor to engage an associate for accounting assistance support in the amount not to exceed $75,000. I need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion, Staley.
Okay. A motion by Danny.
Brenda, second.
Okay. Annie.
Yes, Mayor. I'll second the summary. So Resolution 2358 is before you. The borough and Esplin and Associates have been working together on the FY22 audit prep, the financial software request for proposal addressing prior audit findings, and establishing financial policies and procedures. They have provided an updated engagement letter which outlines the engagement objectives and scope of work for FY24, which includes providing accounting assistance and support for the FY23 financial statement audit preparation, providing accounting assistance and support for the accounting software transition to Cassell, and providing ongoing accounting assistance and support to the borough as requested or directed by the borough administrator and or the finance director. It also outlines the CPA firm responsibilities, the borough's responsibilities, and the professional services fees. The agreement will be in the amount of not to exceed $75,000, which has been approved in the budget now, and then Esplin Associates is familiar with the borough's finances and have a CPA firm that can assist in audit prep, addressing the audit findings, and providing ongoing accounting assistance and support is critical to the borough operations. We didn't use all their funds this past year, largely because we didn't do the transition to the new financial software, which we'll get a new timeline for and get that out to the assembly. But administration does recommend approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Comments or questions on the motion? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Before us is Resolution 2359, accepting the financial statements, required supplementary information, and single audit reports for year end June 30th, 2022. I need a motion and a second.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris. Second by Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Rexenbach and Assembly. So this is in regards to the FY22 audit. We just had Vicki and George from BDO come and present. But essentially there was the audit required a few journal entry adjustments and no restatements. There were one material weakness and two significant deficiencies in the financial statement findings, and then for the FY22 federal audit or federal award findings and question costs, there were two significant deficiencies, and for the FY22 state single audit, there was one significant deficiency. Many of these, as they mentioned, have been addressed. These were carryovers for the prior year, and a few were just because we didn't get the audit done by the deadline, and we didn't get an extension like they've done the past 3 years. So, in all honesty, this audit really did go smoothly. I've got to thank Jackie in particular for all her hard work on this. And Esplin Associates also did assist, especially in relation to GASB 87, which is that new lease requirement that required a lot of time and effort, and it was a new thing that everyone was trying to learn. So I think we've got a good system in place this year, so the next year's audit on, in particular in that regard to that section of the audit will go a lot smoother. So they're still waiting, as they mentioned, on the FAA to finalize their decision on the aviation leases, but once that's done, then the audit should be finalized. But I don't think there's any significant changes, and I recommend approval of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
One quick one. How long is BDO with us?
So we just, at one of the prior meetings, we approved them for another 3 years with the option to extend for two, I think, or it was 2 years for the option to extend for three. So we have them for the next 5 years.
Other comments? Okay. Thank you. Question?
Brenda?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Dosey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion okay, thank you. Before us is Resolution 2360, accepting the assignment and assumption of the borough's tideline lease with Silver Bay Seafoods and authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute the agreement. We need a motion and a second.
Ms. Daly, I'll make a motion.
Yep. Okay, motion by Jim, second by Daly. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So in the thing, there's a typo, but the resolution's got it worded correctly. But just to recap, on February 12, 2019, the borough did enter into a tidelands lease with Silver Bay Seafoods. The lease term is for 35 years with one 35-year renewal for a total of 70 years. Silver Bay is now assigning the lease to a bank as collateral for a $390 million loan. Such assignments are allowed in the underlying lease with when approved in writing by the lessor. So it has to be approved in writing by the borough. Documents the borough is being requested to enter into consist of an assignment assumption of lease, a consent to assignment of lease, and a lessor estoppel and agreement. Joe Levesque, the borough attorney, stated that the easiest way to explain these documents is to think of refinancing your home or vehicle. When you refinance, the bank will require several documents to be signed by you as the borrower. In this case, the borough is consenting to a mortgage on Silver Bay's interest under the lease to the bank. What the bank demands is not only an assignment of the lease, but to assume the lease. The bank also requires the borough to consent to the assignment in writing. The final document is the lessor estoppel and agreement. This document makes the bank as lender the new tenant under the lease. The estoppel is made up of several covenants or promises by the borough that it will not interfere with the bank even if the bank takes possession and removes the Silver Bay improvements located on the leasehold. The Lovac has been working with Silver Bay Seafoods on finalizing these documents. He's not really identified anything in the documents that would have a negative impact on the borough.
He did note that the change in the assignment language is the only different thing from the provisions of the lease. The covenants mostly promise that the borough won't interfere with their property, which is normal, and, of course, the part about allowing the bank to remove improvements. There is a provision in the lease that improvements may become the property of the borough, and he is talking to them about that right now. But Joe Levesque is not aware of any side deals, but Silver Bay's bank will not loan the money unless these documents are executed. So I feel very comfortable with going forward with this, and administration recommends approval of 2360.
Thank you, Annie. Questions? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tosi?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bob?
Abstain.
Motion carried.
Okay. Paul abstain? Did you abstain?
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know if I'm supposed to explore it or not. I'm a member of the city, so.
Yeah, I think you can vote. Give me a way to vote. You don't have to. So, yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Before us is Resolution 2361, authorizing the mayor to begin negotiations with term contractors for future borough construction projects. I need a motion and a second for Resolution 2361.
I make a motion. This is Chris.
I'll second this, thank Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie.
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly. So on April 20th, 2023, the borough issued a request for qualifications for qualifications and fee information from general contractors and specialty contractors for multiple construction term contracts in the borough for construction, renovation, and maintenance of borough-owned facilities, including schools, airport facilities, housing, and offices, and other items if we find them. At a minimum, the borough expects the term contractors to be able to provide any or all of the following services as is defined by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development's 2023 minimum rates of pay for laborers and mechanics. This includes electrical, mechanical, carpentry, plumbing, excavation, roofer and waterproof, painters, and laborers. Offers did not have to provide all the specialties and trades. For instance, there may be a general who then will subcontract, or we had electricians apply as well. So the borough received six proposals by the May 11th, 2023 deadline. The proposers were Gold Construction, who's a general contractor, Clubs Mechanical, who's a mechanical contractor, Kukar Construction, who's a general contractor, Living Waters, who does mechanical and plumbing contracting, Long Building Technologies, who focuses on control system integration, mechanical and electrical contracting, service provider, and security and access control solutions provider, and then Wired AK, who's an electrical contractor. On May 12th, representatives from Dow and the borough reviewed the proposals. Scoring criteria was based on qualifications, capacity, honesty and integrity, and price information. Price information was based off hourly labor rates, overhead, profit, and markup rates on a percentage basis, profit percentage on the cost of the work, subcontractor markup, and change order markup. The review committee determined that all six contractors qualified, and it is recommended to select all the contractors for contract term contracts. If the assembly approves these selected contractors, the borough will execute a main agreement with each entity. The method with which the borough will solicit specific contractors for six specific projects may vary. The borough may request project-specific proposals from all applicable term contractors, or the borough may choose one of the term contractors and work with them directly to negotiate scope, schedule,
budget for a specific project. So this is a little different than what we currently do. It actually will be great on some of these, especially smaller projects, that we can go to people we already went out for bid for, read their qualifications, and know that they can do the job. Personally, I've worked with the majority of these at one point or another. The only one I've not worked with is Club's Mechanical, but they all can do the job well. So I do recommend approval of this. There will be instances on bigger projects, such as like possibly the deed project, where we'll be going out to bid for that because it's very specific to the grant requirements, and it's a really big project. So we'd still go out to bid for some of the bigger projects. But for instance, if we have somebody that needs to go out and paint and re-site a building or something like that, we can go to this these contractors and get a quote and then move a little more quickly on it. So with that, if there's any more questions, please let me know.
Questions for Annie?
Yeah, thank you, Annie. One quick question. If there's a project and all six bidders are equally qualified for it, how do you pick which one of the six?
We probably do a similar like RFP selection process, go through cost, and honestly, if they're actually qualified. Like I said, some of these contractors only specify on certain things. So if Wired AK, who's an electrical company, bid on something that's like a more of a general, we wouldn't probably go with them. But it would probably be based off of what their scope of work is and their cost.
And then my only other question would be, of those six contractors, how many would be described as local contractors?
One.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay, before we vote on this, I'd like to add to a little bit too. So since for a while now, there's Annie and Talia and Laura, Beverly and myself. We've all been acting borough maintenance director, I guess you want to call it. But so we're all getting involved in all these different projects that are going on, or that we have going on right now. And a lot of it is the age of our facilities. We tear into something, and there's especially in buildings, and right now I've got some stuff going on in buildings. And if you're doing a simple thing like change a door, all of a sudden you find out there's rock underneath of it, and we're taking care of that. We've got issues with leaky windows, some areas, I think, in one of them, we got some roof issues. Boilers in at least two of our facilities. Falls Pass is going to get two new boilers, and that's one of the contractors will be going in there to replace them here sometime this spring or early this summer, because they were, at times, they were totally out of heat over there, and they had to move the school to another facility to have classes. We got boiler issues right now here in South Point that we've been working on for the last couple of weeks, and we're kind of waiting for parts and contractor to come in. They got to tear one boiler down. I think it's all covered under, it's still under warranty, but these things have to be taken care of. So we're kind of doing the ordering, bringing people in as needed, and moving through some of this, and I'd really like to see this get approved, because throughout the summer, we're going to try and bring especially our schools back up to par before the school starts this fall, so we don't have these problems, and it's just a lot of work that needs to be done that, you know, it's deteriorated over time, and it hasn't been done. And we're digging in, and we're finding some of it. So kudos to the staff for really putting their foot forward here and working on all these issues. Anyway, thank you for that. So if there's no other comments or anything here, we'll call the question on a motion.
Bailey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Warren?
Edwin.
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Benda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution 2262, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dowell to conduct a site visit and complete a condition assessment at the Sandpoint School in an amount not to exceed $53,150. Seeing a motion and a second to bring this to the floor.
This Brenda, so moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
A second to Staley.
Thank you, Daly. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll direct an assembly. The 2262 is before you. On February 21st, 2023, the borough signed a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Education in Early Development to conduct major maintenance at the Sandpoint School. Project provides for renovations at the Sandpoint K-12 school and pool, including improvements to the HVAC, improvements to security, replacing the fire alarm system, replacing the intercom system, and renovating the pool. And those pool upgrades pool work includes upgrades to the restrooms and lockers, replacing the metal roof and repair structure as required, reconstructing or repairing exterior walls, replacing supply ventilation ductwork and controls, and improving drainage. Foundation work may occur if supported within the budget and after a value analysis is complete, but we'll have more information about that later, and likelihood it won't be included in the grant funds. That being said, the grant was in the amount of, or is in the amount of, $2.968 million. The grant amount from the state is $1.9 million, and the participating share from the borough is $1.039 million. The next steps for this project will be to complete a site visit condition assessment, complete the design at 35, 65, and 95/100%. Now, those have to be stamped drawings, so they're a little more required in them rather than just schematic designs. Then we'll go out to bid for a construction manager, general contractor, and then there's construction. The borough has requested and received a proposal from Dowell in the amount of $53,150 to conduct a site visit and complete a condition assessment for the Sandpoint School. The scope of work will include a site visit with the following technical disciplines: an architect, a mechanical engineer, an electrical engineer, structural engineer, and a civil engineer. They'll update the condition assessment we have and also do an updated cost estimate. And their primary focus, although they'll be looking at the whole building, but a lot of their primary focus will be on the deed grant requirements so we can get a better cost estimate of actual construction. We do anticipate that the construction for that grant will go from $2.9 million probably to $5 million. Due to when we initially wrote it and the cost of inflation and other aspects, that we think it'll be a lot more than that, so they'll help pinpoint that. Funds to pay for this would come out of the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund, which you approved for maintenance prior, but I said I'd come back to the Assembly if we were going to expend any funds out of that, so that's where I would recommend that the funding be paid for this out of. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Mayor, I know a couple of years ago when I was stumbling through the school looking at things, the lighting was very poor. I don't know if that's been changed or we might want to keep open that possibility of, you know, upgrading to better LED lights. It was pretty dark and dungy there, but I do have one specific question, which is, if we approve this, which sounds like reasonable to approve this, Dow will come out tomorrow. When are they coming out?
They would come out in June when school's out of session.
School's out of session?
Next week, but they'll come out in June.
Sooner the better. This looks like it's holding up everything. It possibly could hold up everything. So the sooner the better. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments?
Yeah, Warren here. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about getting this Sandpoint School fixed up. I wish we were in the process of doing replacing the Sandpoint School, instead of doing like a Colby Dock thing. But that's just my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. Yeah, we'd probably be hard pressed to get money together to replace that school right now. But think once this is, like they said, you know, when the engineers first came through and looked at it, you know, they said it needs some TLC, but the structure itself was sound, so. And it's, that's a big facility up here when you go. I've been walking through a lot lately because we've been doing lots of work up there. It's still a nice facility. I think we just need to do some work and bring it back up to standard, so. Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Grace?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Annie, you know, we said meeting 2 weeks ago. 8 resolutions.
Oh, no, we did a lot of work in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks.
Are you going to recommend weekly meetings?
No. I don't want to do this again. Okay. That was a lot of work.
Okay. Okay, thank you, everybody. We're through those resolutions now. So, Annie, you want to update us again on old business Kobe water discussion?
Yeah, of course. So in the packet, there's a memo that I wrote that outlines what has occurred with the Cold Bay Water situation, and then there's also a memo from the city of Cold Bay. So Lori did help me with this with the timeline, and I really appreciate her assistance. But just to summarize that, in April 2022, the city of Cold Bay wells were tested for PFAS, which is also per and polyfluorical substances. We'll go with PFAS, through the Department of Environmental Conservation. On June 3rd, 2022, the city received a call that their wells tested positive. Well number 3 tested high at 1,605 parts per trillion, and well number 2 tested at 42 parts per trillion. At the time, EPA's Lifetime Health Advisory, or their LHA level, that was adopted by the state was 70 parts per trillion. The city was informed by the state to solely use well number 2 as their main well, and well number 3 would then only be used as backup in an emergency due to some conflicts. The state Department of Transportation began shipping and distributing drinking water to the community. On June 15, 2022, the EPA lowered the LHA level from 70 parts per trillion to 0.024 parts per trillion. The new LHA was below what the test could detect. ADEC did not adopt EPA's new lower limit, and the LHA limit would remain at 70 parts per trillion. On June 23, 2022, DEC sent additional testing supplies to the city. On July 21, 2022, the new test results were received. Well number 2 tested at 48 parts per trillion, and well number 3 tested at 1,220 parts per trillion, and the storage tank tested at 415 parts per trillion. DOT would continue to supply drinking water. There was a third round of testing done in November 2022. On July 20th, 2023, the results were received, and well number 2 tested at 142 parts per trillion, well number 3 tested at 1,090 parts per trillion, and the storage tank tested at 136 parts per trillion. Due to the results of this round of testing, both wells are now over the 70 part per trillion LHA level. The city was informed that drinking water would continue to be supplied until a solution is in place. Ultimately, the State of Alaska Department of Transportation is responsible for determining the solution to the problem. However, the city is heavily engaged, as outlined on the City of Cold Bay's memo, in the process. The city has hired a PFAS expert engineer who is currently working on other similar projects across the state in Lower 48. The engineer is devising a filtration system that would be installed in the water plant. Once the plan is complete, the city plans on presenting the plan to the state to see if they can implement it. Drilling a new well has been considered, but it is not the solution the community is looking at. The only contaminant that exceeds acceptable levels in the water level is PFAS. The new well is to be created. It will take time to determine a new location that is not impacted by fuel PFAS and other contaminants, and permitting regulations will have to be met. This is not something that can or could happen quickly. The borough supports the city and state's efforts to determine the solution and is staying in frequent contact with the city on this issue.
The next memo is from the city of Cold Bay, but essentially this is a very unique situation. This is the only community in the state that has PFAS that's affecting the entire public water system. In other cases, PFAS around the state are affecting private wells. Some of these cases have been on bottled drinking water for approximately 5 years. So the city is proactively working on a solution, as I mentioned before, and they're hoping to have a much quicker response time. But ultimately, DOT is responsible for the PFAS issue, and they will continue to send drinking water to Cold Bay until a solution is in place. Unfortunately, this is not an overnight process, but one that will continue to be at the forefront of the city and also the borough. So we are in constant contact with them, and if the borough is requested to assist at some point, we will try to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie on this?
Yes. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, as we talked about in the workshop, there are several old wells in town, and I think we'll probably help the state, let them know that they should be doing testing and that whoever's in charge of the test money. But there's nothing, I don't think there's anything more important than health and safety of residents, and this qualifies under that category. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Paul. And I think someone did state, I think Daly might have stated that the state did test some of those wells, and I think as Annie continues to have conversations with the state and with the city of Cold Bay, I'm sure she'll bring that up to see if there's more studies that need to be done on it. And again, as the Elucindese Borough, we're here, we're ready to help them. So I think the minute the state or the city asks us, we will be more than happy to step in and do what we can to expedite it along. So with that, though, I think they've basically told us to stand down for a little while. Other comments? Okay.
Yeah, this, Mayor, this is Daly. On the behalf of Cold Bay, we'd like to thank you guys for everyone being concerned and trying to help us out. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And like I said, we're here whenever we get to that point where we need the help other than what we're doing now. So, okay. New business, donation requests, Annie. And I think, Annie, you're going to be looking for a resolution for this one?
Yes, I'll be asking for a motion. So the borough has an established donation policy that allows entities within the borough community to request charitable donations in order to provide the greatest benefit possible to the maximum number of people within the limits of the borough's available resources for charitable donations. The policy does currently state that the borough will not make donations to benefit individuals or small groups. The borough will consider requests for donations that benefit nonprofit organizations and civic organizations so long as the project meets the criteria for charitable donations. And it continues. Requests must be completed and submitted by May 1 and November 1 of each year. And I did include a copy of the donation policy in the packet for your reference. In FY23, the Assembly appropriated $23,500 for donations. In May 2022, the Assembly approved $9,750 in FY23 donations. This left a balance of $13,750 for additional FY23 donation requests. The borough did not receive any donation requests in November of 2022, but did receive 4 requests in May 2023. That would have qualified for FY23 donation funds. Unfortunately, the MBC campers request is not through a nonprofit or civic organization and is for a small group of 3 individuals. Therefore, the borough is not permitted to make a donation for this. So what is recommended is $300 to the QTT graveyard cleanup, $300 to the QTT Earth Day Fair, and $3,000 for the King Cove Fire and Rescue annual fireman's picnic, which would total $3,600. So if this is funded, there would be a balance remaining in the FY23 budget of $10,150. The recommendation for the FY24 budget donation line item is $23,500, which was just approved a little while ago. And we did receive four donation requests that qualify for FY24 funding. And although the request originally came in at $21,000, the administration is recommending to fund $16,000, which would leave a remaining balance of $7,500 for the remainder of the fiscal year. And this includes $6,000 for the QTT Culture Camp, $6,000 for the IGDAL Culture Camp, $3,000 for the City of Cold Bay EMS Salmon Derby, and $1,000 for the Pink Rain Champagne. So what I am looking for is a motion to approve the donation as I just presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, clarification, Annie, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We're talking about donations, but you were talking about organ donations. You were looking at me, and I was thinking you're talking organ donations.
No, I'm not, talking,
old, some kind
not
of
talking about organ donations.
Okay.
No.
Okay, Annie's looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion. This is Daly.
Thank you, Daly.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Thank you, Brenda. So, any other comment on this donation?
Mr. Mayor, is this a simple motion? Annie, I thought I heard her say something about resolutions earlier.
No. Oh, it's just a simple motion. That was me because we went through so many resolutions. I was just turning everything into a resolution. It's just a simple motion.
Okay. Fine, thank you.
All right. Other comment? Question on the motion?
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Dosey?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. And I believe under new business, the FY24 healthcare insurance is an informational item, Annie.
Yes, and I'll probably ask for a motion on this as well, but I just wanted to share this with the borough that Premier Blue Cross has provided the renewal information for FY24. We received that on May 10th. The renewal for medical coverage only had a 3% increase, which is a lot less than the 10 to 12% we originally anticipated, and the renewal for the dental coverage remained the same, resulting in a 0% change. So that being said, the new... the current rate we're currently paying per month is $1,649.25 for medical. That will increase to $1,698.73. And then the medical stays the same at $58.96 per month. We did ask for a request from the Alaska Municipal Health Trust through AML. We have not received that to date, but after speaking with Hub International, it is really strongly recommended that the borough stay with the Premier Grandfathered Plan. There are no other plans like this. She said basically there's not any plans with a $250 deductible or even a $500 deductible at this cost. So if we do decide to leave this plan, we can never come back. Therefore, administration does recommend staying with the borough's existing health and dental insurance plans. So if I could get a motion to that effect, that you basically saying that the assembly approves staying with the borough's existing health and dental, that the assembly recommends staying with the borough's grandfathered plan, I think that should be sufficient.
I move Annie's last sentence. Thank you.
Second?
I'll second, Daly.
Thank you, Daly. Call question.
Dosey?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we are down to reports and updates. Annie, I haven't heard from you in a while.
All right, so my report is in the packet for you. There is an update on the King Cove Road. The Department of Interior and Secretary of Interior Holland have filed a motion to dismiss the existing litigation pending before the Ninth Circuit as moot. This motion to dismiss is based on the earlier DOT self-proclaimed withdrawal from the 2019 King Cove Land Exchange Agreement. King Cove Group lawyers have filed multiple pleadings opposing the motion to dismiss and the purported withdrawal from the 2019 land exchange agreement. These pleadings have been filed in coordination with the support of the state of Alaska, which agrees that the secretary lacks the legal authority to unilaterally withdraw from the 2019 agreement without King Cove Corporation agreement, and particularly with no tribal consultation and government-to-government consultation as required by the Department of Interior Procedures and Rules. This is a very unusual case since the Department and Secretary are principal defendants and the state and the King Cove Corporation, the tribes, the borough, and the city are intervener defendants. King Cove Group pleadings point out to an in-bank panel that this case is not moot since the King Cove Corporation, as a signer of the 2019 Land Exchange Agreement, still has a right to a decision in its favor that the 2019 Land Exchange Agreement is valid. The state agrees and has filed its own opposition with the in-bank panel, requesting the in-bank panel to uphold the agreement and deny the interior's motion to dismiss. The pleading cycle in this case was completed on May 11, 2023. Since this is a new element to the case, there's no time frame that we can predict for when the court will make a decision on the pleading motions. So that's one big thing that's happened. The King Cove Group has remained in constant contact with the Alaska Congressional Delegation, who continue to support the King Cove Road and its litigation and the Land Exchange Agreement and Road. Deputy Secretary of Interior Boudreau followed his March trip to King Cove with a proposed study of the issue by developing a supplemental environmental impact statement under NEPA, which was to be completed by mid-year 2024. This is a very ambitious schedule. This process is supposed to begin with a notice of intent by DOI to be published in the Federal Registry, which has been done and which I can forward a link later to everyone. And one of the key issues is that the notice of intent would involve a land exchange but without a road proposal, which seems to be considered problematic by the department in this future study. So as of May 11th, the notice of intent was not published, but that was published, I believe, yesterday. So that's an update there. Sandpoint D grant, we're moving ahead with that. You guys just approved the next step for Dowell, so we'll start that process and get them out there in June, so that project will continue. And then there is always tons on the Fun Sandpoint pool. But basically, Kukar Construction has installed the two new pool doors. They are going back next week, the week of May 22nd, to paint and do some finishing work on that, and they are also going to be addressing the mold issue as well as the flooring, which is curling up in some spots, creating some issues. So they'll be addressing that next week. And then Living Waters is also scheduled to go out next week to finish some plumbing work on the bubblers, which I think is a water fountain. So they're going out next week as well. We still have some other outstanding items with the circulating pump, which we will be, now that we can contact Clubs Mechanical, we'll be reaching out to them to help us finish the circulation pump. And hopefully at that point, then all we have to fix is the gutters, and then we've fixed everything. That's the hope. But we'll see what happens. And then the bigger picture will be the D grant, which will fix the walls, the roof, et cetera. So we are making progress on there, so it's not as fast as we'd hoped.
The Colbay Clinic, there's some updates there. We did finish the 35% schematic design. We are in progress at the 65% design. However, we are still being held up by HRSA. We submitted requests for, or their requests, in November of 2022 and January of 2023. We still have not received a response, and we have a couple other items that need to be addressed before we can really move any further. I think I've emailed them four or five times in the last 2 weeks, and I finally got a response saying that they're basically understaffed and they'll get back to me when they can. So we're trying to move forward on that, but we do need permission from HRSA before moving too much further into that project. On April 18th, the Borough and Aleutian Airways did enter into a sublease agreement. Their term started May 1st and goes through June 30th, 2026. So that's exciting. That's been a year-long process to get that signed. And then there's a couple other things. One last comment that's not in here is MARAD is scheduled to go out to Sandpoint on May 23rd to do their site visit of the Sandpoint Harbor. So that's really exciting and is going to start moving that project further so we can actually go to construction. So thank you.
Okay. Questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Paulia?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. The first two items are grant opportunities. Starting off with the Healthy and Equitable Communities Grant, the Alaska Department of Health, DOH, did announce a $9 million in funding to local governments through memorandums of agreement in support of creating healthy and equitable communities around the state. The funding will be available through May 31st, 2024 to support activities of greatest need identified by the local community. The goal of the funding is to create and support local coalitions to develop and implement sustainable plans to improve the overall health of the community by preventing and addressing COVID-19 among undeserved Alaskans at higher risk for COVID-19-related illness and death, including rural populations. The borough is partnering with Eastern Aleutians Tribes to implement the purchase and installation of a two-body morgue for the city of False Pass in the village of Nelson Lagoon. DPH agrees to provide $109,335 in funds in accordance with the terms of the MOA. Great news. I did hear back from DOH yesterday, and we have been awarded the grant. So we're going to go ahead and get the process started of getting that implemented in those two cities and village. Next is the EECBG, which is the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant. The Aleutians Eastboro is applying for the Department of Energy EECBG grant to implement energy retrofits for this for the Sandpoint School. On March 30th, 2022, the U.S. Department of Energy did announce a $3.6 billion in new funding through the Weatherization Assistance Program. $75,000 has been set aside for the Aleutians East, and like I said, we are hoping to use that fund to retrofit some of our existing buildings, specifically the Sandpoint School. An update with the Sandpoint Pool. The borough is looking for a qualified pool inspector to inspect and maintain the pool operation. Dell has contracted with Councilman Hunsaker, and they are operational specialists in the aquatic industry. They will be completing the following three items: a facility audit. They will be completing a current conditions evaluation of the swimming pool while on site. B is a maintenance plan creation, providing an equipment and maintenance plan for the pool, and they'll also be assisting me with requests for a proposal, which is just drafting a solid scope of work with the request of qualifications for the pool maintenance. They do anticipate being in Sandpoint June 12th through the 13th, and I have been working pretty closely with Dow and Leah in coordinating their trip.
maintenance connection. I'm continuing to update items as they're coming through. Most recent item is we have entered into contract with Gold Construction for the repairs of the leak issues in the Falstaff School, and administration is also looking into quotes from companies to resolve the sandpoint and false pass paint issues. I did include a couple of images of the false pass school just to give you guys a good perspective of what's going on. Paint is literally peeling like a sticker. On the bottom half, I have the regular meetings attended, and that is it. If anyone has any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Dahlia. Any questions? Okay. Laura.
Oh, one quick one, Talia, is you mentioned they weren't going out till a month from now. Why does it take so long to get up? Thanks.
For Councilman Hunsaker?
I believe that was the name. Yeah, it's not right up here. Yes.
That is the time frame that they gave me.
Okay.
And they're also trying to do it when the kids are out of school. So...
Yeah,
they'll be out of school a month
by
the time they get there. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
No problem.
Okay, Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Oster, back in Assembly. Currently, one of the projects I'm working on includes a white paper on Sandpoint's new harbor. As with other white papers, having the history of what has developed over time, including funding used for this project, will be helpful moving forward for the borough mayor, assembly, administration, and staff. Anytime administration applies for grants for this project, this document will help with providing all the information in one place. Another project that I worked on was the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbach, and I also worked with Annie on this late last month. This was a presentation to members of the Senate Transportation Committee. The presentation focused on the economic importance of our borough's harbors and docks. It outlines the details of each facility, when they were built, repairs that have been conducted in the past, as well as any additions and upgrades. In the case of the Cold Bay Dock, the presentation also discussed plans to completely replace that dock with a new one and why this is so critical. It also highlighted how the borough is working with the state of Alaska and AML to complete a PIDP grant application for design, permitting, and construction. Overall, this was a good opportunity for the borough to provide information to the committee about some of the challenges remote communities face, including the harsh weather and the high expense of bringing contractors out, as well as equipment and materials to our communities. It was also an opportunity to bring up the fact that we are very proud of the accomplishments that we have been able to achieve so far. In addition, it was important to point out to the committee that the borough relies heavily on the state of Alaska to provide matching grant funds and expertise to complete all these projects that the borough is working on. This helps us tremendously in allowing us to operate and maintain our harbors for our fishing fleets, as well as our docks for ferry passengers, goods and services, etc. All of this is to grow and keep our communities healthy. Another project that I worked on was the last In the Loop newsletter, which contained a feature about King Cove teacher Joy Smith. She's been teaching at the King Cove School for nearly a decade and is very well known for her creative teaching methods and projects and inspiring her students to be creative learners. Parents, as well as the principal, remarked how passionate she is about teaching and how she caters to every pupil's learning style and advocates on their behalf. This newsletter feature was part of the borough's community alignment initiative. That's just something I will continue to reach out to our communities to feature other people who help to make each location a special place. So my next goal is to reach out to one of the smaller communities to do similar features. As far as the social media and photography project, I recently finished resizing photos for Sandpoint. You may recall that they are very large in resolution, which is what we needed for many projects. However, there were so many photos that putting them on the share drive for administration and staff when needed, it was actually too large, so I resized a lot of these photos to make it easily accessible for staff and administration when needed, and then when we need the bigger resolution, we have that on a hard drive. The latest one I finished was Sandpoint, and that was the last of all the communities that we needed to work on. There were more than 700 photos, so quite a few to go through. And as mentioned before, these updated photos are very important for grant purposes, PowerPoint presentations, newsletter articles, social media, and promotional purposes. So those are some of the highlights. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions? None? Ernie?
Thank you, Mayor. My report is in the pack as well. I'll try to be brief. We have new department staff for salmon management in the South Penn and Sandpoint, Matt Kesey, and in the North Penn, Charles Russell, and their assistants listed. They'll be having a salmon preseason meeting May 31st at 10 a.m. at the in person at the Sandpoint office. Thank you, Beverly. And Charlotte has set up a Zoom link, and that's I provided that link in the report. The legislature, I see the House is now in session again. The last day of the session was yesterday, but the governor, in his wisdom, made the call just for the budget. I think I can confidently say that we will have a June season. I'm not trying to jinx it. So I listed what was happening with those bills that were going to close our June fishery. The May 12th was less than 10 minutes hearing at the Senate Judiciary Committee. What they did was accept a committee substitute that took the north side and the set netters out of it. So that's what's going on there. Board of Fisheries, all seven members are now confirmed. The legislature confirmed the latest four. And we are working with others to bring board members in this summer to the region. We'll see how that works. I know it was really important that we did that last summer. So that's one of our projects we're working on. Charlotte's actually point person on that. For the council, which meets in Sitka in June, I noted two things that they're working on, the programmatic supplemental environmental impact statement, which kind of covers all their fisheries. Brad Gilman's report, again, kind of touched on this a little bit in his report. The other thing, I've put a little chart of the Red King Crab Savings Area. There's an initial review. I will be submitting comment if there's no objection opposing their alternative three, which would add or would make Area 512, if you look at that chart, go straight up from Port Moeller. It would take pot cod fishermen out of that area as tried to save Red King Crab. And Charlotte is now a member of the Fishery Monitoring, the FMAC, Fishery Monitoring Advisory Committee, and she's now on the North Pacific Research Board Advisory Panel. And then a couple things for Nelson Lagoon. The was it last meeting? Two meetings ago, you guys approved a plat that will help with the electrical project. That project is ongoing. They're working on the module here in Anchorage, and the on-site work will begin in 2024. And then I submitted a letter supporting the new water intake project for Nelson Lagoon, and I put those there. Lots of meetings going on. I can answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Okay. Oh, Charlotte's report is also in there. I can address any questions, maybe, probably not. She's got lots of projects going on. She's not here today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She's off. So. Jackie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck at Assembly. I do have a report in the packet. I'll go off first that you guys sat and listened to the auditors present the draft of the audit. I've been working on just getting them the last few minute things that they need, and as it goes, we're ending this year in a couple months, so I've been working a lot on preparing those documents to get ready for the next audit. I don't think audits ever end, but that's just the life. spent a lot of time working on the budget, creating new spreadsheets and documents so that they can be easily used or changed when changes need to be made between the readings. We asked that during the meeting earlier. On Cassell, I'm close. Well, I should be getting the final TB balances from George here in the next day or so after they confirm the lease numbers for the audit, and I will be able to get Cassell their last document they need for the questionnaire process. And during the next stage is kind of the stage when we're going to have a lot more interaction with the people at Cassell, so we'll have a project timeline once we enter that stage with them and have the meetings to get moving on the setup. Financial policies and procedures. I'm making good progress on the financial policies and procedures for this year's strategic plan. The rough drafts are pretty much written for all the groups that are in this year's project. I'm currently focusing more on the investment account reconciliation. This policy needs to be aligned with government accounting practices, and I want to ensure that it entails the details needed to provide all of our needs for the financial data. And as I research in this area, I'm also working on streamlining the process for monthly reconciliation. And that's for the investments. I've been working on creating new spreadsheets to be used in tracking these accounts. Currently, the workbook needs a lot of updating for the formula, so I'd rather have something that is just entering in a number rather than having to change formulas and update it for each month, because that kind of, you could get a lot of errors in there when you're updating formulas. It's a pain. The investment statements, they're pretty complex, and I just really want to make sure that it's as simple as possible. And also, it's time-consuming when you're trying to look at the data from the statements. So I also want the workbook to show cumulative data so that I can just pull up the workbook and look at stuff, because it helps when you're analyzing your interest revenue and researching for forecasting. Routine tasks are ongoing. The majority of them are already done for this last month's financials, and all the data was received and input so that the financials can be closed out for the previous month. I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Okay. Thank the staff for all the reports. We're down to assembly comment. Not all at once. Oh, wait a minute, Jim.
Yeah, this is Jim. I'd like to thank the administration and staff. Obviously, you guys are very busy with maintenance and all those issues. And also, on behalf of the City of Sandpoint, I'd thank the borough for the contribution to the solid waste vehicle. Those monies are definitely needed at the city at this time, so thank you.
Okay. Others?
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah,
Tom. Yes, if I may. I just wanted to thank the Assembly for the contribution to our fuel situation here in Falls Pass. But also, you know, I know the borough has a lot of projects going on, and I've been in support of these projects throughout the years, and I'd like to see them, you know, fulfilled. But we've been talking about an airport here in Falls Pass for quite some time also, and I hope we don't lose sight of it. We're, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years for a feasibility study, another 3 to 5 years for a design, and God knows how long for funding. So I'm asking the borough if they continue to look at this and maybe find some money for the project rolling. Thank you.
Yep, Tom, on that, Annie and I, our last trip to Juno that we made, we talked to Department of Transportation, and they, you know, actually, a few years ago when we went down, we first started talking about that runway over there. They took a look at it and decided that it was way under the minimums for a state airport. They admitted to that and said now they, you know, they need to go back in and bring up standards. Annie and I have both been having conversations with the state, and they're working on trying to put something together as far as how they're going to approach the existing runway, you know, if they can lengthen it, raise it. Actually, the last time we were down there, folks in Falls Path had sent us pictures of a portion of the runway underwater, and they had no idea that that was happening. It, you know, I've seen a look on their face when we showed them the picture. We left pictures with them. So we are working on it, and the state will move, I guess, as fast as the state will move, but we do have meetings with them on that runway. They know it needs to be upgraded. They don't know how yet to actually do the upgrade, or there's things talking about moving it. And I think when we get a little farther down that road, we'll probably have more conversations with your mayor and the people in the past on how they want to go with this thing. But it's going to be fairly expensive. We do know that. And I think Annie, I don't remember what the exact numbers are. I don't know if Annie, do you remember?
No, I think it was around 40, 45 million.
Yeah, it's up in that area somewhere. So anyway, we are, we never forgot about you guys, and I've been after them for a few years now, and I think they're finally starting to realize. And I think a big part of it was they did, the last time they did a study on that, fixing that runway, it was around $20 million. And I can't remember what year that was, but it was a while ago. But there were no processors, anything there at the time, and they decided it was too much money to spend. But now that you have a couple of processors, a lot of people coming in and out of there, the need for medevac planes to be able to get in, I think the tide is changing on that. And all I can tell you is we're doing as much pushing on them as we can currently. But we keep working on it. Other comments?
Yeah, I appreciate that. But, you know, I guess from the last census, you know, for funding purposes, if you need any money for funding purposes, our population has risen to over 300. So, you know, that might help if we need something there. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, no, all those kind of upgrades, updates on population and everything else are, helps quite a bit as we get on the road. Other assembly members?
Yes, Mayor and Assembly, this is Daly.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to thank the mayor, staff, and the administration for all you guys do. You guys do a lot of great work, much appreciated by everyone, I'm sure. And I would like to thank Weiss for all the work on the Nelson Lagoon Power Plant project and upgrade on the water system. I know the village of Nelson Lagoon and everyone truly appreciates it. And also, I know where Tom is coming from with, you know, with the airport, because I feel the same way about the dock in Cold Bay. So we'd like to hopefully keep moving forward on that, and thank you to the borough for, you know, helping us out with that. We appreciate it.
Thank you for that. Other comments?
Chris here.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I want to thank the administration for putting together, I think, what's going to be a good budget for this coming fiscal year. And it's, as Annie said, it's awesome to see a surplus. And so looking forward to seeing what's going to happen in the new fiscal year. I do thank the assembly for the donation for the firemen's picnic. It's going to be I think it's going to be a good event, and so we appreciate your support every year for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett, Chris. Anyone else? Okay. I have one comment I'd like to make. Last week I was out on AML Board of Directors meeting, as I sit on the board, and I brought up the issue of legislators trying to override boards and commissions that were appointed by the, or, you know, put in place by the governor and approved by the legislators. And the board was behind me 100%. They said that this is not something they want to see happen. You know, and I told them at the time, of course, it's AREM that's getting targeted with it, but it could be anyone and any board and any commission. So they agreed that if I would put together a resolution, and I've got a few weeks here to get that done, and we're going to submit it to the full body later on this, well, in December when they have the meeting. But it's got to go through the board of directors, and the first place that it's going to reappear is at the conference of mayors, AML's conference of mayors later this summer, and then get tweaked again there. And I know I said I would put it together, but basically Annie and Ernie and Charlotte are going to help get that thing put together, and we'll get it out there. And basically it's going to be a resolution asking the governor that if legislation is put forward, if they make any motions or pass any bills that where they override boards and commissions, that the governor would veto them. So that's kind of the path we're going on. So I'll have that ready to go here in a few weeks. So anyway, that's all I have for now. So any questions on that from anyone? Okay. Any public comment? Try to warm all up.
Just a quick request. July meeting, if it's possible, tie it in with the ferry and go visit Tommy Hublot or something like that. False pass.
You should have salmon by then.
Somewhere else.
But, okay. So, there's no public comment. So, currently our next meeting date is July
13th. He didn't even give what we had.
Are you really talking about going to Falls Pass in July?
I haven't talked about it. Falls.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's the sixth. That would be the 15th and 16th, and people are fishing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, we'll take a look at it. But right now, we're scheduled for the 13th. That's the second Thursday? Yeah. So if we make any changes, we will talk to everybody. How's that? Okay. If there's no other comments, questions, thank everybody. I know it was a long meeting, lots of information. But thanks for hanging in there, so. Have a good evening.